Hi, this is Larissa Mahovich, and I play Helen, the dead soprano on Buffy Between the Lines audio drama podcast, and you're listening to Strangely Literal with Tabs.
Dislike that Anya. She's newly human and strangely literal.
What? I don't say that. No one says that. No one talks that way.
Strangely Literal, the podcast.
So here's the part where you make a choice.
Deborah Book was just telling us funny stories about his life at the monastery.
This goes beyond anything I've ever done. It's a total loss of control. And not in a nice, wholesome, my girlfriend has a pierced tongue kind of way.
I think you've already figured out I'm not the poster boy for normal.
I've given some thought to moving off the edge. Not an ideal location.
Hi everybody, this is Tabs, and welcome to Strangely Literal. I know it's been months and months and months, and you probably thought I died, especially if you don't listen to any of my other podcasts. But it has been a crazy, crazy time, and I've been behind on everything, and I feel like this mountain of life has stomped on top of me. Plus, I was sick over Christmas, so that just made everything worse, because I didn't even want to get on a computer, let alone do anything on it, so... Yeah, it's been crazy. We have moved over to Four Point Media. I am having extreme troubles with my feed. So if you have been experiencing that, if you're listening to this via the website and you're like, my feed didn't update, Tabs, I just saw that you updated Strangely Literal and it didn't come in, it's because I was a doofus and put a space in the updated feed and now it's all bajorked and iTunes won't fix it, and hopefully it gets fixed soon, and I'm very sorry. If you want an immediate solution, you can manually subscribe in iTunes, if that's what the podcatcher you're using, or if you're using a different podcatcher, you'll need to do this. In iTunes, what you do is you go up to Advanced, and it says Subscribe to Podcast. You'll need to copy the feed from my website, and it should be HTTP... blah, 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 you know, that normal HTTP crap. And then feeds.feedburner.com/S strangely literal, one word, all together, no spaces, like I stupidly did. And hopefully that will be fixed soon. And if not, I'm very sorry. You're going to have to resubscribe, and it's a big hassle, and I'm very annoyed with it all. It should have been a really smooth transition, and if I hadn't have added that space, it would have been. You wouldn't even have noticed, but yeah. Like I said, it's been a rough couple months, and I'm very sorry about that. But it is a fantastic time to be a Whedon fan. If you haven't picked up your Dr. Horrible DVD, do it now. It's fantastically packed with extras. The Destroyer, which is my cat, who you probably hear in the background, made one of the top lists. Not the top list, not the second top list, but I think it's like the third top list. So he was very excited. So if you see the Destroyer on the Evil League of the Evil credits, that's him. That's my boyfriend. That's the guy that you hear in the background on every freaking episode. You won't hear him tonight because he's sleeping. So there you go. but pick it up. And it's worth the $10. You get almost a whole new experience with it because of the commentaries and the commentary of the musical. So I highly recommend buying it at Amazon.com. I know Amazon Canada was having some problems. If you're in Canada, I'm very sorry. Like I said on Jost, very, very sorry. But hopefully it's all resolved by the time you hear this and your DVD is on the way or in your hot little hands. So, but like I said, it's a great time to be a Whedon fan because we have Dollhouse DVD. Yeah, we have a Dollhouse DVD. No, just kidding. Dr. Horrible DVD. We have Dollhouse coming. We have Cabin in the Woods coming. We have comics coming out of our ears. I just bought a couple long boxes because of all my comics. And Buffy and Angel fit in one long box. But I also picked up Chuck. I also picked up Dresden Files. I also picked up, you know, you're in the comic book store and you're like, ooh, comics. Yay. Speaking of my comic book store, I had sad news over Christmas that I was going to be closing, and I was so depressed. If you're in the Torrance, California area, near Buffy's house, you need to go to this comic book store. It's fantastic. It's amazing. I love it. Third Planet. You can find them, Google thirdplanet.com, or I'll try to remember to put a link in the show notes. I'm really bad about that. and they were going to close, and it was very sad, and I went in, and I was so sad. They're so nice to me. I'm hardly ever in there because I only go to pick up my comics, but they remember my name and my pull list and all that, so that's very sweet of them. Some of them are Whedon fans, and I chat with them a little bit about Whedon stuff. But then I just got an email today that it might be reopening, so yay. If you have a local comic book store, please, 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 please frequent it. These are places for geeks to hang out. Especially like my comic book store, there's a place for role-playing games and people meet there and play together and things like that. So if you have a brick-and-mortar store, as we say, go and support it, because it was very sad for me to think that place would be gone. And there's not a place to like geek out over board games and action figures and comics and graphic novels and yeah. And just talk about geeky stuff without having to go to a convention or, you know, spoiling a bunch of non-fans with your incessant chattering about fandom stuff. Which I know none of you do, because you're all very good people and you would never do that to somebody. So Dollhouse is coming. I hope you're excited as I am. Friday the 13th of February. It's a little ominous, but I'm still being positive. As long as Joss Whedon's positive, I'm positive, and it's going to be great. And tell your friends, and please, 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 I know it's hard to go through another heartbreak of a canceled series. I understand that totally, but please, please, please support it, because if a bunch of Whedon fans don't show up, then, you know, nobody will show up. So, and it's airing right after Sarah Connor, Terminator, so I think it'll be a good thing. I think it's a good thing. I know it's Friday night. I know it's whatever, but, you know, Friday nights aren't the same as they used to be. Especially in this economy, people are staying home and watching TV. So support it. Tell your friends. Tell anybody you know who has a Nielsen family. Tell them to tell Nielsen that they were watching. Anything you can do, anything you can think of to support it, go for it. I hope it lasts. I really do. I want to see Joss Whedon television. And, you know, Joss is still open to doing more Dr. Horrible. He said that in a recent interview, so that's really good. I'm very excited about that. And if you're not checking out Felicia Day's The Guild, check it out. Watchtheguild.com. You can see it right away on MSN and Xbox 360. When it comes out, and then delayed on the website. But if you don't mind the evil that is Microsoft, or if you really, really like Felicia more than you hate Microsoft, you check it out. And as always, you can check out her Twitter or her website, FeliciaDay.com, or Twitter.com/FeliciaDay. She's an amazing person, and we love her. Yeah. Today's story is an angel story. It's been a long time since I had some angel fanfic. And honestly, for me, it's really hard to find angel fanfic that's not hugely R-rated or absurd. Not that I mind absurd. I write crackfic. I like crackfic. But it's just hard to find in comparison to Firefly and Buffy. There just seems to be more Buffy and Firefly fanfic than there is angel fanfic. And this one is a post Not Fade Away. Obviously it is not in agreement with the comics. So don't let that mess you up if you're reading the comics. But I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was a nice Not Fade Away, conclusion to what was happening there in the end of Angel. This fic was written by the ever talented Brent Kahn, and I really enjoyed it, and I hope that you guys do too. And it's read by Rose, who works on Buffy Between the Lines, and she's also the assistant producer for Tales from the Verse. So take it away, Rose.
You know what the first rule of flying is? Love.
You're listening to The Signal.
Well, we hope you are.
We're back with season 5.
Shiny. Let's be bad guys.
Could be bumpy.
Always is.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And this year,
we're going further than we ever have before.
to bring you the best articles,
interviews,
news,
and reviews from in and around the world of Joss Whedon's Firefly and Serenity.
I love this ship. I have from the first moment I saw it.
What you care about is the ships, and mine's the nicest.
It's love, in point of fact.
She loves this ship.
If you love Firefly, you need to listen to The Signal.
With new writers, new ideas, new content,
and loads of your favorite regular segments.
Helping to keep Firefly and Serenity alive in the hearts of browncoats everywhere.
You hold. Hold till I get back.
Hell with this. I'm gonna live.
The Signal.
Still flying in 2009.
Join us at
www.serenityfirefly.com.
We're still flying. That's not much.
It's enough.
The Signal.
Season 5.
What was that?
Time for some thrilling heroics.
Here's how it is.
You get killed, I'm telling.
Okay, that's new.
Till the End by Brenken, read by Rose. Angel felt the sword pierce his lower back twice before he could swing his own weapon around and decapitate the demon who had stabbed him. He growled in pain before being distracted by a loud swishing noise from above. The dragon above had taken off from the roof of the Hyperion again. It had aimed a number of large fireballs in the Fang Gang's direction, but the three remaining fighters had dodged it easily. Hordes of demons fell as the flames burned them, their shouts and roars getting quieter and quieter as the flames grew larger. Gunn had lasted longer than Angel had expected. He had slain a dozen or so of Wolferman Hart's army before one final blow sent him to the ground. Angel hadn't seen if the raging fire had reached his body or not. Something to check if he survived, he thought. Illyria had risen to the task of causing more violence. She had cut a swath through the demonic forces and had sought more ground to work in than the alley that they had started the battle in. That had been over an hour ago. Angel had lost sight of the God King within minutes of her repositioning. She had been swallowed up in war. Spike, brazen and bloody, had burned brightly in the fire. For all their arguing and Angel's hatred of him, Angel had to admit that he had a great gift in causing mayhem and destruction, something that was sorely needed in the fight. He had climbed to the rooftop of the building beside the hotel, a fellowship of demons and giants following his path. Angel heard the witty remarks and snark-filled quips that his grandchild made and smirked. Even in battle, Spike had to be the smartass. But then, as soon as Angel had returned his own thoughts of battle and demon warriors, Spike had vanished from the rooftop. Angel surveyed the damage caused. Not even a quarter of the demons had been killed, yet their red blood ran fast with the heavy rain. The Hyperion was a shell of its former self, and that had just been in the first 15 minutes of fighting, mostly thanks to the dragon and its ability to spout fire, but always due to the taller of the giants, one that had fallen through the wall after Angel and Spike sliced at its lower legs. They had hoped for it to fall backwards onto its allies, but it couldn't follow their simple plan and cascaded sideways instead. Angel stood at the entrance to the alleyway, his sword held high protectively. He could hear the echoes of the sounds of fighting. One of his companions was still alive. He knew he had to find them, wherever they may be. But a brightness of fire reminded him of his own personal goal. Time to slay the dragon. He climbed the fire escape to the adjacent building, the same one that Spike had used, and tried to keep out of the dragon's attention. Somehow he had been followed upwards. He watched as the dragon fired round after round of fire blasts down onto the street, following its flailing tail. It had three spikes running from across the tip. He needed to find a way of dodging the spikes, but still be able to get a firm grip to pull himself on top of the dragon. As luck would have it, the dragon took to landing on the rooftop beside the one he was standing on. This meant he wouldn't need to avoid any barbs and could quickly get to the slaying part of his objective. Taking a running jump, Angel soared through the air, landing not so gracefully on the dragon's back, just above the wing joints. Angel quickly raced up the beast's head and, raising his sword above his head, swung hard and deep. He lodged his sword in its neck for a couple of seconds before pulling it out and hacking at its neck again. On the fourth strike, the blade cut a vein or something, as a deep green-colored liquid began to pour from the wounded animal's neck. Attempting to get to its feet, the dragon swayed dangerously as its blood loss level rose substantially. It moved to the edge of its perch and fell forwards, showering the demons below with its blood before falling on them, smashing everything within its body length. Angel looked up to the night sky and let the fresh rain wash his face clean of blood and guts. Now weaponless, he jumped to the alleyway and, grabbing a discarded battle axe, went in search of the remaining members of his team. He entered the battlefield that was formerly the street outside the hotel in search of Illyria. "Illyria!" he called out, slashing and killing anything neither bleached nor blue that came in his way. Looking ahead, he witnessed three scavenger demons ripping at a carcass. Believing it to be a former enemy, he didn't give it a second look, but as the moonlight shone down and enhanced his sight at the gathering, he noticed the ice-blue eyes that were held in the larger of the demon's hands. "My God," he barely whispered, before running towards his friend's remains. He dealt with the enemy quickly and felt his stomach lurch. The street was covered in pieces of the shell formerly known as Winifred Burkle. He knelt and bowed his head at another following warrior as the thunder clapped and the lightning crackled. Getting to his feet, he sniffed the air for that last remaining member of his team, the other vampire with a soul. His sense led Angel around the deceased dragon and into another alley. The clashing and clanging of metal on metal announced the continuing war around him. Raising his new weapon, he followed the grunts from his oldest friend. Spike was in the throes of war. He was surrounded by demons, none of which were relenting in letting him take out one of them at a time. The crashing sound of a falling dragon and the roars of agony that soon followed made him smirk at his sparring partners. "Guess Gramps killed a big bird," he said, relishing in the short interval. The demons around him were enraged, and as soon as he raised his sword, they were back at him, swords and axes smashing against his own, teeth and talons tearing at his skin. The last time he'd be involved in this big a brawl had been in the cavern beneath the high school, the final battle of the love of his life. He had hoped to survive that fight, but once his fashion accessory had awakened, he knew there was no chance. Just as there was with this one. No matter what any damned prophecy said about him becoming a real boy, which would only happen if he and his tag team killed every last snarling creature that Wolfram and Hart spewed forth. There was no chance in hell that they could do that. It was as obvious as the rain hitting his body. Yet, he kept at it. What else was he going to do? Let Captain Forehead take all the glory when, if, Buffy rode in to save the day? So he hacked and slashed at anything that moved, many of his thrusts killing blows. He had just beheaded a particularly nasty chaos demon when he smelt the arrival of his grandsire. Tripping up a Skelosh demon who was in the process of attempting to plant its spawn in the back of his skull, Spike ran to Angel's side and clasped at his shoulder. "How we doing?" he asked, eyeing the fallen enemies that had covered the street and pavement. "It's evening out," Angel said, watching the remainder of Spike's foes glare at the both of them. He then returned his eyes to Spike. "Illyria is dead." Even with the thunder and pounding rain, Spike heard Angel's statement. It was as if time stood still before he looked to the ground. "How?" She was torn apart. Looking to the heavens, Spike didn't know what he was searching for. An answer, maybe? Or something that was coming down to kill him, too? "We need to finish this, for their sake as well as ours," Angel said, looking around at the surrounding destroyed apartment buildings. "Bloody right we do." Spike turned and both vampires raised their weapons. "I call the Skelosh." Angel nodded. The two shared a final look before charging into the battle, and then returned to war. It wasn't long before Spike fell to the ground. The remaining Skelosh had jammed his spear into the blonde's stomach. Puncturing the unused organs, the Skelosh pulled the weapon out and aimed for the heart. The wooden spike pierced leather and cotton, flesh and bone, before hitting shriveled meat. As he turned to dust, Spike's final words were, "Bloody hell." Alone, tired beyond belief and damaged, those were Angel's thoughts as he watched the man turn into nothing. Angel grabbed the sword from the ground and shoved it through the Skeelash's throat, ending its existence. Armed with his fighting axe and broad sword, Angel retreated to the empty street. He had never heard this section of Los Angeles so quiet before. It was oddly relaxing, the quiet amongst the horror and bloodshed. He waited for the remaining demons to come, to end this once and for all. "Till the end," he said to the quiet street. "I'll see this to the end." As the first wave ran towards him, he released a steady breath needlessly. Each demon that faced him came to an end by axe or sword, by gaping chest wound or beheading. But as easily as he knocked them down, two more groups took their fallen comrades' places. He fought powerfully and shone in the night sky until the sky changed to a lighter tint. The sun was rising. He needed to find shelter, but each time he tried to find an exit, a demon started to hiss at him and would draw him back into battle. Even as the sun rose, he kept fighting. He started to smoke and sizzle, but never stopped waging his war. When the end came, he was ready for it. He knew it was right and accepted it. He let it happen. As he burned to ashes, his thoughts flew to two people. His son. He had gotten the goodbye he wanted and even more time fighting side by side with him. He knew that, at that moment, the spell he had allowed to be cast had been the right decision and that his son would live a happy, normal life. Buffy was the other. She thought he had reverted to his evil ways. She had moved on, with the immortal no less, and hadn't said a word to him since she arrived in Los Angeles with her busload of slayers. This battle, this strike at the machine of Wolfram and Hart, would explain it all to her, he hoped. He vanished. A sharp wind took over the empty road. All evidence of the events of the previous night were gone, as if the battle of all battles had not occurred there for over 6 or 7 hours straight. Nothing remained.
All of the characters and universes referenced here are the intellectual copyrighted material of Joss Whedon, the Fox Network, Universal Pictures, and others. This podcast and the stories contained therein are purely for entertainment purposes, and no money or Second Life money was made off of this. All stories are by individuals and used with permission from the author. Strangely Literal is created in Chicago and has no connection or affiliation with Joss Whedon or any other fine podcasts out there. For more information about this show, please check out our website at strangelyliteral.com.
The podcast you are listening to is a part of the Between the Lines Studios Network. To find more great podcasts, please visit www.betweenthelinesstudios.com.
Grr.
Gah.
Yay, me.